محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So, I got to tell you, Ramadan Kareem first. So, Ramadan Kareem. And we're now going to look at Juz 9 today. So, a little bit of a recap. We've got the 114 surah in 30 ajza. The Quran was revealed in ayat. There were 6,236 ayat. The Prophet then directed, as taught by Allah, into what we have chapters or surah, 114 surah, and that's what the Quran is as. The only reason we have ajza is because to make it convenient to finish in a month, and you have seven manazil to make it convenient to finish in a week. And our focus today is on the ninth juz. The idea of journaling, and I keep on saying that, is to be able to personalize your Quran. And it's really an amazing thing. I remember my grandfather's Quran, and when I found it, the joy I had, because in the sides, as in the margins and in the top, he never wrote in the script, but in the side and the margins, he put so many notes in Gujarati, and I absolutely adored it. I remember that trip when I went back to Moshi and I found his Quran. I think I spent all the 10 days I was there just enamored by this book. It had become brown, the covers had folded, but the words he'd written are just, they stayed in my head. So this is something that will, I hope, take you through generations. Before you start, wudu, recite in Arabic, seek protection from shaitan by a'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, entering in his name, pronouncing the ultimate declaration of independence, which is la ilaha illallah, and reciting the dua of the Prophet. Walzam qalbi hifdha kitabika kama 'allamtani. Make me commit my heart to your book as you have taught me. In other words, make me fall in love with this book. And today we will see there's an ayah where Allah says he comes in between a man or a human being and his heart, a person and his heart. So to be able to raise our hands in dua when we get there and say, Ya Allah, if you can come in between me and my heart, then please make me fall in love with your book. Because the book in essence is authored by one who loves the readers. It's very different from human experiences. So Juz 9, you can see the shelf there, Suratul A'raf, which is Makki Surah, and Suratul Anfal, which is Madani. One of my most favorite ayat of the Quran, 833, absolutely adore it. And 180 of Suratul A'raf, which you can tell immediately it's Asma'ul Husna. So let's start. We've looked at Suratul A'raf, I'm just going to go over it gently. It's literally, Suratul A'raf is about the consequence of rejecting divine guidance, and there is a focus on Prophet Musa, which we will look at today in brief. I'm not going to go over the whole story, I just like you to highlight bits in your Quran so you'll be able to remember them as they come across. So the first thing we're going to look at is Ayah 99, and Ayah 99 is about Allah's plans, right? So he says, Afa'aminu, it's a question. Do they feel secure? Amana is secure. Do they feel secure? Makrallah. Do they feel secure from Allah's plans? Fala ya'manu makrallahi illa al-qawmul khasirin. Only those feel secure who will perish. Now why? If you remember last time, yesterday, if you remember, we highlighted all these ayats of the different messengers, and all of them have the same message. Ya qawmi ubudullaha ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. Do, you know, obedience to Allah, be Allah's servant, submit to Allah, there is no other God than Him. So this is now, in essence, ayah 99 here is actually talking to them. It's saying, are you really secure? You lie, you're lying against your fitrah, you're lying against your inner being. You know within yourself that He is God, He's the Creator, and you're also lying against the Messenger. So that's directed to them and directed to us as well. Because when we lie against our own inner being, which tells us what we're doing is wrong, or we disregard what the Messenger has advised us to do, then this applies to us as well. So that's Ayah 99. Go to the next slide. Now these two are of Prophet Musa. So you all know, and I, like I said, I won't repeat it like I did to the children. The story is about Prophet Musa when he goes to see Fir'aun. So he goes to see Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, "You have the audacity to come here. I raised you as my son." And he says, "Well, I was scared because one of your soldiers was fighting one of the Bani Israel, and I tried to move them apart, and he fell and he hurt himself. I pushed him, or rather I moved him away, and he fell and he died, and I was scared, and that's why I went away." And he says, "Famarabukuma ya Musa, who is your Rabb?" This is in Surah Taha. He says, "My Rabb is he who created all of us and guided us." And Pharaoh said, "But I am Rabb." And he said, "What if I show you some clear signs?" So these are the signs, he said. Fa'alka asahu, he threw his staff. Fa'idha hiya thu'banun mubin, it became a snake, when it was very clear that this was a snake. Now in the Quran, and I'll show you how I've highlighted it. Up there, I've put a snake there, by the way. And I've highlighted that. If you look, and I've underlined thu'ban, there are three words for a snake in the Quran. And all three describe Musa's snake. Thu'ban is here. So I would write Thu'ban here, which you've already got Thu'ban there. I would put Hayya there. Hayya is 2020, by the way. So you could put it down here. Hayya. I'd put 2020 here so I don't forget. And Hayya actually means the scare part of a snake, the fangs. The third place is in Surah Al-Naml, ayah 10, where Allah calls it a jan, right? So you could, somewhere if you find space, you could put jan, and that is the agility of the snake. So this tells you that this snake that the staff became was huge, had fangs, and was agile. Possibly something like what's in the picture here. The next thing he showed Fir'aun was, وَنَزَعَ يَدَهُ فَإِذَا هِيَ بَيْذَاعُ لِلنَّاذِرِينَ, he put his hand under his armpit, and when he took it out, it was a bright, illuminating, shining light, and people were mesmerized. لِلنَّاذِرِينَ بَيْذَاعُ لِلنَّاذِرِينَ, those who looked at it didn't want to move away from it. So if you can see, I've drawn a hand there. بَيْذَاعُ لِلنَّاذِرِينَ, that doesn't have different words, that is just the way it is. So if you can highlight that, then you know a little bit about Prophet Musa. So what happens? So you see that Fir'aun becomes really angry, and he says, you know what, these are magicians, because this was a land of people who did magic. So he got the best of magicians all together. They had this massive seminar. They got together, and he tells the magicians that whoever beats these two will become prosperous. I'll give him whatever you want. So as you can see down here, as you read the story, they said, Musa, will you throw your staff first, or will we? And he said, you do that. So when they threw their staffs, they became moving. They started moving, and it instilled a little bit of fear. There was a fear in it. And Allah reveals to Musa, ayah 117. He says, you cast your rod, don't worry. You throw your staff, don't worry at all. And he does. And it eats up all the other staffs that looked like they were snakes. So now let's see what happens. As soon as the magician saw that, وَأُلْكِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سَاجِدِينَ, they, magicians, went down into sajda. They just fell into sajda. Now the Quran says, let me go back and show you. Here, can you see ayah 118? It says, فَوَقَعَ الْحَقِّ, it was like the truth fell down upon their backs. Waqa'a is to place something. So imagine somebody puts a heavy load on your back. You bend down. So the truth just poured onto their backs. And it suddenly they fell into sajda. Wa ulkiya, they just went. Saharata sajideen, they just fell into sajda. Now if you see how I've highlighted it, I've put magicians. I've drawn sajda. And I've also put a cross reference of Surah Ash-Shu'ara 46 to 48. Exactly the same words. So they said, "Kala amanna bi rabbil alameen, rabbi Musa wa Harun." We believe in the Rabb of the worlds, the Rabb of Musa wa Harun. Now Fir'aun is absolutely furious, absolutely furious. He has nothing else to say. He's beaten, and you can see what he did. How can you believe in these magicians without my permission? I will cut your hands off. And they said, it doesn't matter what you do. They said, "Inna ila Rabbina lamunqalibun." We will go back to our Rabb. So this is a story that will continue. But I've started you off, and inshallah you will look at it and highlight your Qurans. So what happens? So we find that they needed to learn. So Allah sends these, what you might want to call signs or plagues or whatever you want to call them, they were sent upon them. Now let's see what Quran says. This is ayah 133, 134 and 135. So we're going to start off by looking at ayah 133. Okay, so look at ayah 133. For arsalna alayhim, now Allah sent upon them how many things? Five things. Tufan, you know where the a typhoon comes from? It's from tufan. It's a tornado. And tawaf comes from this word as well. What is tawaf? To go round and round. So tufan is something that goes round and round, like a tornado. So that's a tornado. So the tornado came down. And then you had these other things that came down. Well, you can see that, right? Well, jarad. Jarad is locusts. Oh my goodness. These are not very nice. Well, qummal. And lice. They were everywhere. Whatever they saw, there was lice and locusts. Now these came separately, by the way. There was tufan, there was locusts, and then there was lice. And then look at this. Wasafadia. My goodness. Frogs. Everywhere they looked, there were frogs. Wadam and blood. The water turned to blood. And Allah says, these are ayatun mufassilat. You know, tafsil is something that's clear, very clear. These were very clear signs. Fastakbaru, but they still were arrogant. Kanu kauman mujrimin, they were a guilty people. Then what it is? Walamma waqa alayhim urijsu, when the plague came on them, kalu, they went straight to Musa, Ya Musa, Ya Musa, Ya Musa, du lana rabbaka, please do dua to your Rabb, bima ahida indaka, but he, and he has promised you. And they said, La in kashafta anna ridsa, if you remove this from us, لَنُؤْمِنَنَّ, we will definitely believe لَكَ in you وَلِنُرْسِلَنَّ مَعَكَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ, and we will let you go with the children of Israel, and we will let you go with Bani Israel. You think they did that? No. So when we removed the plague, فَلَمَّا كَشَفْنَا أَنْهُمْ رِجْسَ إِلَىٰ أَجَلِمْ, oh my God, they broke their promise. So Allah says, we inflicted upon them. Now what did we do to them? Let's go to the ayah so you can see. فَانْتَقَمْنَا مِنْهُمْ فَأَغْرَقْنَاهُمْ فِي الْيَمِّ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا وَكَانُوا عَنْهَا غَافِلِينَ. So we gave them the recompense of what they did, and they were drowned. فَأَغْرَقْنَا is to drown. يَمْ is a large body of water, or water that flows downhill. Why did we do that? بِأَنَّهُمْ كَذَّبُوا, because they lied. Be ayatina, in our signs, wakanu anha ghafilin, and they were heedless. And we'll talk about heedlessness as we go along. So I'll go back to my Quran, and you can see the reason why I put that bit in blue, so I know it was water where they were drowned. Right, let's look at the next ayah. And the next ayah is 30 plus 10, and it's 40. And it's something that we recite in the Salah of Dhul Hijjah, in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. This is what we recite. So you can see in my Quran, there you go. I've drawn a mountain. I've got 30 plus 10. I've written Dhul Hijjah Salah. But I've also put Arba'in Kalimiya, because this happened on the 1st of Dhul Qa'dah. And these 40 days from the 1st of Dhul Qa'dah till the 10th of Dhul Hijjah are known as Arba'in Kalimiya. That's 40 days. I've circled Thalathin, which is 30, and Ashr, which is 10, and then Arba'in, which is 40. So let's go back to the ayah. What happens? وَوَعَدْنَا مُوثَى ثَلَاثِينَ لَيْلَةً, so we appointed a time for Musa for 30 nights with us. وَأَتْمَمْنَا بِهَا بِعَشْرٍ, and then we added 10 more nights. فَتَمَّ مِيقَاتُ, and this completed the time with his Rabb, أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلَةً, of 40 nights. Now what happens? So Musa goes up with 70 of the Bani Israel, and Allah says 10 more nights. Now down in where the people are, remember this is going up the mountain, down, Prophet Harun is down there with all these people, with all the Bani Israel. And after 30 nights, they get really, really restless. They don't like it at all. They're really, really upset. So look what they do. Let's go to the next ayah. So they had their ornaments, their gold, and they gave it all to this guy called Samiri. And Samiri was somebody who knew how to make things, and he made it into a golden calf. Remember, this is between the 30th and 40th day, because they're saying, oh, Musa's not coming back, You know, we want to go back to what we were worshipping. We want to do that. And remember the yellow cow that was in Baqarah? Same thing. So he makes this. Now, somebody had also taken some dust from the hooves under where Jibreel was. So Jibreel was with them when they were crossing the river. And he had put some in his pocket. He was very smart. And he put this dust into the middle of this cow that he had made. And it started making a mooing sound. And they said, oh my goodness. This is something that speaks to us, that something that's able to speak to us. You could draw a cow there. If you look at mine, I've written Ijla there, a golden calf. So Samiri gets this, and he made it for the discontented Bani Israel from the ornaments they gave him. So وَاتَّخَذُوا قَوْمُ مُوسَى مِنْ بَعْدِهِ مِنْ حُلِّيِمْ إِجْلًا جَسَدًا لَهُ خُوَانٍ. And they made this calf after him. It was mere body. And it made this noise. And then, أَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّهُ لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمْ. Could they not see that it did not speak to them? وَلَا يَحْدِيهِمْ سَبِيلًا. It didn't guide them. اتَّخَذُوهُ وَكَانُوا ظَالِمِينَ. They were unjust. We sometimes get pulled in by stuff that is just not what religion is all about. And this is an example for us. So, highlight it. You could highlight just the Ijla there, just so you remember where the golden calf is. And we go to Ayah 156. And all I want you to highlight here, all I want to make apparent to you, is this sentence, and I absolutely love it, which is right down here. Can you see it? وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. If you look at it here, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. We start the Aikomel with this. It's just amazing. So how did that come about? So we find that Prophet Musa has chosen his people. They say they want to see God. Allah says, look at the mountain across. The mountain explodes and they all die. Allah brings them back to life. And then you find the dua. Anta waliyuna. You are our wali. Faghfir lana. It's a dua you can recite in Qunut. Warhamna. Forgive us. Have mercy on us. Wa anta khairul ghafirin. You are the best to forgive us. Waktub lana fi hadhi dunya hasana. Give us good in this world. Wa fil akhirati inna hadana ilayk. And we turn to you. We are guided towards you. And then he says, rahmati wasi'at kulla shay. So I've put in my Quran du'a al-kamel, just so it reminds me where it is in the Quran. Right, let's go to the next one. 715. My goodness, this is a really, really amazing ayah. So let's see what this ayah says. Allah says, Alladina yattabi'una rasul. Those who follow the messenger. Here you go. I'll bring it down so you can see it. Alladina yattabi'una rasul. You could draw 2 feet there because that is following the Prophet. He says, An Nabiyul Ummi. Who is the Nabi? Who is the Ummi? He's the Prophet and he's from Makkah, right? What does he do? الَّذِي يَجِدُونَهُ مَقْتُوبًا إِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاتِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. So it is he that is talked about in the Torah or Injil. What did he do? So the first thing he did was يَعْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. You know, we're told to follow the messenger. So the first thing you've got to do is يَعْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. We talked about him. He makes known what is decent, what is right. وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. We talked about this, that as well. He keeps them away from that which is not known as decent, which is evil. وَيُحِلَّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. And he makes halal that which is good. وَيُحَرِّمَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ. And he prohibits that which is filthy, which is not good. Now this is where we really need to understand it, and I'll go back to the ayah. وَيَذَعُوا عَنْهُمْ إِسْرَهُمْ وَالْأَغْلَالَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ. He removes from them the isr. Isr is a heavy load. Aghlal is a chain. A chain that they have tied themselves, which is upon them, which is the chain of traditions, which is the chain of making up things, superstitions, things we make up ourselves. He took that away from us. فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِهِ. And those who believe in him, وَعَزَّرُوهُ. And those who respect him, وَنَصَرُوهُ. And help him, وَاتَّبَعُوا. وَاتَّبَعُوا النُّورِ. And they follow the light, which is the Quran. الذي أنزل معه, which has been revealed to them, أولئك هم المفلحون. They're the ones who will be successful. So we have the freedom to choose our actions, but not the consequences. This ayah actually tells us that religion, or the Prophet was here to take us away from the shackles of tradition, from the shackles of things that we put on ourselves. So many times we impose traditions on ourselves, we impose things on ourselves, and we say, well, this is how everybody does it, so we do it. He was there to bring simplicity back into our lives. So if you can see the shackles there, inshallah, you could probably draw them there. If I were you, you could probably draw chains there if you wanted, and you'll be able to remember that this is the breaking of chains. Next ayah, 7171. So if you turn your Qurans to 7171. Now, this was again the Bani Israel, right? So the Bani Israel were arrogant, and Allah says we had to lift the mountain. وَإِذْ نَتَقْنَا الْجَبَلَ فَوْقَهُمْ. The mountain was literally raised above them, as if it was a covering over their heads. كَأَنَّهُ ذُلَّةٌ. It was like a cloud. وَذَنُّوا أَنَّهُ وَاقِعٌ بِهِ. And they thought it would fall down upon us. That's when that happened, that's when they took the covenant that they would follow Prophet Musa. They needed that sort of, if I can say, threat to be able to take it forward. So all I've done is, in essence, put a mountain there to remind us that we don't need a threat to be able to follow the messengers. The next ayah is 180. I showed you that in the knickknacks. So what I did was, from the shelves, I've cut it out, 180, and I've put it there, so it always reminds me there. And you should know this ayah, it's beautiful. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. And for Allah are the best of names. فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. Call on Him with those. Suratul Bani Israel, Suratul Isra 17:110 tells the same thing. And he says, وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ. Move away from those who يُلْهِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ, who do not respect these names. So يُجْزَوْنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. They will know what they did. Now what does that mean? That means if I do not instill in myself the qualities of Allah, then I am in essence violating the sanctity of those names. So the Prophet said, تَقَلُّكُ بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. Adopt in yourself the akhlaq of Allah, which means adopt in yourself these qualities. It is good to know them. So you can see I've highlighted that in green. Right, 7187. Next one. This says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ. They ask you about the hour. أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا. When will it happen? When will it take place? He says, قُلْ, tell them, إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي. The knowledge is only with my Rabb, nobody else. So let's have a look there. See, it says the knowledge is only with my Rabb. Now let's go a little further and see what he says. La yuhalliha liwaqtiha illahu. He will not reveal that knowledge. He's not going to tell anybody it. He will not bring it to light except when he wants to. Thaqulat fis samawati wal ardh. I need you to remember that word thaqulat. Thaqulat refers, and it'll come in a minute, Thaqulat refers to a pregnant person. In other words, he says he's impregnated the heavens and the earth with the concept of Qiyamah. They're waiting. So, you know Surah Al-Zilzal, that's why I've written it here. I've written Athqalaha. Iza zulzilatil ardu zilzalaha. Wa akhrajatil ardu athqalaha. When the earth will lay down its burden, just like a pregnant woman waits to lay down her child, to give birth to her child. Then he says, La ta'tikum illa baghta. Can you see that? Illa baghtatan. It will not come, and it said it'll come as a surprise, it will slowly creep on you. And then he says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ كَأَنَّكَ حَفِي. You keep on asking this question. When will it be? When will it be? حَفِي is somebody who persistently asks. anha. Qul innama ilmuha indallah. The knowledge is only with Allah. Lakinna akthara nasi la ya'lamun. But most people don't know. So keep in your mind that image of a pregnant earth waiting to give birth on the day of Qiyamah, waiting to lay down its secrets. Now let's see. Now the next ayah is about pregnancy. Let's see what it says. So if we go to ayah 189, there you go. Min nafsin wahida. He created you from a single being. وَجَعَلَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. Then you had your spouse, that you might, now look what he says, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so that you may find peace in her. So this is talking about peace in her. فَلَمَّا, right here, تَغَشَّاهَا, when you had intimacy with her, hamalat hamlan, she became pregnant. Khafifan, it was a light load in the beginning. Famarrat bihi, and it started moving in her. Falamma athkalat, then when it became heavy, that means now she's heavily pregnant. Da'awallaha rabbahuma, they both prayed to their Rabb. La in ataytana salihan, if you give us a good child, lanakunanna min ash-shakirin, we will be those who are thankful. And the reason I've highlighted this is that, you know, this is both, look at how he connects this pregnant earth with this pregnant person, and they say, both of them say that we will become of the thankful if you give us a good child. We say we will be thankful if you relieve us of the difficulties of the day of Qiyamah. But he says, فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمْ صَالِحًا, when he gives them a good child, جَعَلَ لَهُ شُرَقَاءَ فِي مَا آتَاهُمَا, they associate with, they have nothing to do with him, nothing to do with Allah. We did this all by ourselves. فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ أَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ, he is much higher than what they associate with him. So if those two ayat you can sort of put together, as in the earth is pregnant with Qiyamah, and the human beings' pregnancy and how they wish to lay down their load. Right, let's look at the next ayah. So the next one is 204. Right down here. And we're going to look at all these. So, وَإِذَا كُرِئَ الْقُرْآنِ, and when the Qur'an is recited, فَاسْتَمِئُوا, listen to it, وَأَنْسِتُوا, and be quiet, remain silent. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, so that you may be guided. Raham, or mercy, is being guided. If you want to be guided, listen to it. So this also applies to Salah, because Quran is recited in Salah. So if you look at my Quran down here, I've drawn a Quran, I've said show respect to the Quran, and I've written Salah as well. Remain silent. You can't have the Quran on and do something else. It doesn't work. It's not like a side thing that you listen. It's something to be taken, I mean, really seriously. It's from Allah. Really got to. Then we're going to look at the next two ayats, okay? So, because they're a continuation. He says, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ, remember your Rabb within yourself. تَذَرُّعًا وَخِيفًا. Now, تَذَرُّعًا is a combination of khushu and khudu, which means you want to be able to have respect, have humility. But the tadharruan will also mean to be able to be humble. Khifa is in a voice that it's not like, it's from ikhfa, right? Ikhfa is an audible whisper. So inside of yourself, remember him. Waduna al jahar, not loud. Jahar is voice, a voice that a person in a room can hear. Min al-qawl bil-ghuduwi, so in the morning. Wal asal, asal means the different shades of the night. It doesn't say just one night, it's a different shades of the night. Wala takum min al-ghafilin, don't be of the heedless ones. Multiple shades of the evening, when I say asal, is all zuhar, asar, maghrib and isha. But ghudu is only one, which is fajr. So he's saying, if you want to remove heedlessness, the two things that take us away from Allah, or the two things that take us away from being successful, are heedlessness and takabbur. Here he says, heedlessness, if you want to combat it, remember Allah continuously. And that which makes us heedless or takes us away from Allah is none other than something like entertainment. Now let's look at the next ayah. Sorry, it's not here. I'll take it back, take you to here. And the next ayah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ لَا يَسْتَقْبِرُونَ. Those who are with your Rabb, they don't have arrogance. Why? And ibadati. Because they were يُسَبِّحُونَهُ, they glorify him. In other words, they declare his perfection. وَلَهُ يَسْجُدُونَ. In other words, and you do such that, in other words, they pray. So to combat heedlessness, remember him. To combat arrogance, pray lots of salah. And you find this whole surah began with arrogance. You saw shaitan not wanting to do sajda. And it ends with a sajda. This is a mustahab sajda, by the way. So you could draw a sajda here, and it reminds you that it's a mustahab sajda here. Okay. I've stuck that here. That normally stays here. Which tells me, heedlessness is that which takes you away from Allah. It's entertainment that takes me away. And the remedy is remembrance. Arrogance is always worried about my self-image. What will people think of me? What others think of me? The remedy is salah, which is subhan and sujood. Now we go to the next surah, which is Suratul Anfal. Okay. And Suratul Anfal, surah number 8. And basically, if I were to put this together in one sentence, it is the characteristic of true believers. That's what Suratul Anfal is about. So, there's only 4 places in the Quran where Allah says innama al-mu'minuna, and 2 of these places are in this surah. So you can imagine, innama al-mu'minuna, innama in the Quran means no doubt, definitely, you've got nothing. So you find the characteristics of true believers, and if you look at your building, you will find it in section 2, and you will find it in let me go back here. So you'll find it in section 2 up here, and you will find it again up here in section 8, and we'll deal with that next time, but we'll look at section 2 today. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to look at what is anfal. So all you need to do is highlight yas'alunaka anil anfal. Highlight anfal in your Qurans like I have done. And you could write up there, if you look at the top of my Quran, I've written there. Anfal is from nafa. Nafila means extra. So this is talking about the spoils of war. Why is it talking about extra? Because the war that was fought was not for gains. So this is talking about, it's a post-Badr commentary. And it's not, remember, the Battle of Badr was not fought to get gains. It was there for protection, or if I can say in self-defense. It was a just cause. So Allah is saying, yes, alunaka anil anfal, they ask you about that extra. Kulil anfal lillahi wa lirasuli. All of this is for Allah and the Messenger, because they will distribute it. The Prophet divided it justly, removed all discriminations. In the past, they didn't like immigrants, so they wouldn't give it to the Muhajirs from Makkah. They used to say, find us keepers. If they had spoils of war, they would say, find us keepers. They justified it because of their position. So I've written down here, you can put a sticker here which says, fighting not for gains, but for a just cause, and therefore anfal. Now we're going to go to the next ayah. Who are the mu'mineen? And I love this. So this is basically what this surah is about. Innamal mu'mineen. And these are qualities we need to instill in ourselves. There are 5 qualities. Indeed, the mu'mineen. Who are they? Alladhina idha dhukira Allah. Whenever the name of Allah is remembered or mentioned, wherever, not only the Quran, the first thing you will find with them, وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Their hearts tremble. They're like, you know, oh my goodness. They are enamored. They're overawed by the name of Allah. Anything that reminds them of Allah, they look at something, they think, oh my goodness, isn't that wonderful? MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah, all that. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ. When the signs of Allah are recited on them, زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. They increase themselves in their iman increases. So number 2, 1, their hearts tremble. to, every time they listen to the Quran, they listen to the words of Allah, they see signs of Allah, it increases their faith. The third thing, وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَقَّلُونَ, and they totally trust Allah. Okay, so let's go down to my Quran and you'll see that I've highlighted it. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَقَّلُونَ. What else do they do? Number four, الَّذِينَ يُكِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ, they establish salah. And number five, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, and they spend out of what has been given to them. So five qualities of those who believe, and you could write them down as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You could write the numbers in there too. Right, now we look at the desperate du'as of the Prophet. So this is 9 and 10. These are du'as of desperation, and look how Allah answers them. So he says, Istastaghithuna. Istighatha is like a dua of pleading. You know, you're really stuck. So when you did istighatha, when it came out of your soul, from your heart, Rabbukum, to your Rabb, fastajaba lakum, he answered you. Anni mumiddukum bi alfin min al malaikati murdifin, I will assist you with 1,000 of the angels, one after the other. This is Badr. وَمَا جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بُشْرًا, and Allah gives you this as good news. وَلِتَطْمَئِنَّ بِهِ قُلُوبُكُمْ, so that your heart is at ease. وَمَنْ نَصَرُ, and victory or help, إِلَّا مِنْ إِنْدِ اللَّهِ, it's only from Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ, Allah is Aziz and Hakim. So when we are stuck and you're really in a battle, you're really, really stuck, tell him, Ya Allah, I ask you, just as the Prophet asked in Badr, it's my istighasa, I'm asking you, help me, just help me, and I need your help because I need my heart to be at ease. And you are Aziz and Hakim. Remember these two, Al-Aziz and Al-Hakim. Next one, 820. Quite simple, but needs to be written down. Okay. So I'm going to take I can find it, there you go. So this is how I would do it. I haven't done it today, just to show you how I would do it. So 820. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. I should have a green one somewhere. There you go. So I've done all the ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu in green, because they take me to Jannah, and Jannah is green. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Atiyu Allaha wa atiyu Rasul. Follow? I don't like the word follow. Ita'a is obeying him by the bare minimum. So obey Allah and His Messenger. وَلَا تَوَلَّوْا, and don't turn back from Him. Anhu. وَأَنْتُمْ تَسْمَعُونَ, whilst you are listening, don't turn back. It's such an amazing ayah. It's simple, but it's really amazing. Right, next one. This is really cool too. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, or you who believe, استجيبوا لله ولرسوله, respond to Allah through His Messenger. إذا دعاكم, when His Messenger calls you, لما يحييكم, and you will enliven yourself, you will live, He'll give you life. Remember, they thought when the Messenger was calling them to go to Badr, it would cause them death. But He says, no, whatever the Messenger calls you to, it gives you life. For me and you, it's the same thing. Respond to Allah and His Messenger so you may enliven ourselves. Ramadan is known as Rabi al-Qulub, the spring of the hearts, because it makes things that are dead grow. Same thing. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِ, I talked about this. Allah comes in between a person and his heart. وَأَنَّهُ إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ, and to Him we will be gathered. So you can see how I've put it, and I've put it, if I want to live, if I want life, then I must be able to respond to the Messenger. So respond to Allah through His Messenger, which is respond to the Quran, إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ. Whenever He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, I would say, لَبَيْكُ. Whenever there's something I have to do, do it. لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ, that's the way I live. إِعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ, and know that Allah comes between a person and his heart. So tell Him, come between my heart. Make me fall in love with your book, which is what we recited right at the beginning. And to Him we will return. So you will see I've written higher, which is intervened, so you know what it means when Allah comes in between a person and his heart. Right, next ayah. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. This is ayah 27. La takhunu Allaha wa rasul. That's exactly the opposite of what we read in 20. Do not be unfaithful to Allah and His Messenger. Now, a sign of being unfaithful is that we would cheat in what is given to us, a trust. He says, wa takhunu amanatikum wa antum ta'lamun. And don't be unfaithful to the trust that has been put into you whilst you know. And that's any responsibility, written, unwritten, spoken, unspoken. As the moment a responsibility is taken up, we have to fulfill that responsibility. That is what we did. That's what we have to do. So if I go back, I've highlighted that in green, and then I've put orange, and I've put it down as trusts down there. Let me just take that off so it's easier for you. Next one, 829. This is taqwa. You could highlight it right up here. Again, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. I just sort of highlighted this. Let me go back to the ayah so you can see it. In tattaqullah, if you are God conscious, look what He gives you. Yaj'al lakum furqanan wa yukaffir ankum sayyatikum. All you have to be conscious that Allah is around. Wikaya, protect yourself from everything that's wrong. And He says He will give you a distinction. Immediately you go a step up. Wa yukaffir ankum sayyatikum, all your bad deeds are covered. Wa yaghfir lakum, and He forgives you. Wallahu dhul fadlil azim. And that is literally the greatest achievement, and with Allah is the greatest of achievements. So it's quite simple. Just highlighted it in green. Finally, the last one, which is my favorite. I don't think there is any ayah like this. I absolutely adore it. Here we go. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ. And Allah does not. لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ. He will not punish them. Why? وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. Because you are amongst them, O Muhammad. Now, أَوَّلُونَ مُحَمَّدْ وَآخَرُونَ مُحَمَّدْ وَأَوْسَطُونَ مُحَمَّدْ وَكُلُّنَا مُحَمَّدْ. First is Muhammad, the last is Muhammad, they're all Muhammad. So whilst Imam Zamana Ajallahu Faraja is amongst us, within us, He's not gonna punish us. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ, and He will not punish you. وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ, while you ask for forgiveness. It's not rocket science to never ever stop asking for forgiveness and never ever stop wanting to be in the company of Imam. I've put these two here. I've written Prophet M14, I've written Istighfar. You know, if you forget everything I've done today, don't forget 833. Just ingrain it in you. Make it your passcode. Oh God, I've said it, don't. But do whatever you want. Remember 833. Because if there is any punishment on you, ever in the grave, Ya Allah, You promised in 833 that You would not punish me if I ask for forgiveness. And every day, Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa Atubu. And don't forget, just istighfar all the time. And when we come to Surah An-Nur, we'll see how great that istighfar is as well. So we come to the end of this session today. And inshallah, tomorrow we will do Juz 10. So, Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka